Thank you, Jesus. But today we're talking about what to do when you're overwhelmed. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to read four scriptures there. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Hallelujah. And as you know, my message here, all the notes and this audio today is going to be on our website by Tuesday or Wednesday. We want you to learn about Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's read that together. One, two, three, go. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They are already Hazazon Tamar. This was another name for Engedi. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. About 3.5 years ago, I went through my own season of being overwhelmed. Several things were happening in my life. I went through something that really happened. I had a close friend who just right out betrayed me. I've never been quite betrayed before. Anybody who's been betrayed before would understand what I'm talking about. I was doing ministry, doing all different kinds of. I didn't expect it. Felt like somebody knocked me with a punch when I wasn't looking. Anybody ever been through that before? And for the first time, oh my God, it stung. I couldn't sleep. I was destroyed. It knocked me out, knocked me right out, knocked the life out of me. And at the same time, at work, I was working on a project. It was a recording project, and it was just a lot of work, 60-voice choir, so many voices, so many instruments. I was managing hundreds upon hundreds of tracks, and it was just very, very overwhelming. And at the same time, we had just had our fourth baby. Her name is Naya. She was born, and all of a sudden we felt like, man, we need more space. I need more money. Things were just changing at home. It just seemed like so much was happening. And if that was enough, at the same time, my father back home in Africa was going through a very rough season. He had some heart conditions, and they flew him to India for an open heart surgery. And the nurses would put my father on the phone, and he couldn't speak, and I'd just hear him breathe. And I'd speak to him. I'd say, Daddy, I love you. I said, Bishop, you're a great man of God. Bishop, you're going to get out of this place. I'll just speak words, and I'll just speak over him and speak over his life. And you got to remember, my dad is a bishop. He's a healing evangelist. I saw him pray for so many people, and so many people were healed under his ministry. And now he was laid up in India, and I couldn't be there. Just hearing my father just breathing, and the devil was telling me, this is it, Zenzo, this is it, this is it. I was just overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed. The betrayal thing of me was knocking me out, going through work and all that I was doing. And it just, have you ever been surrounded? Have you ever felt overwhelmed, anybody in this place? Have you ever felt like things are knocking you from every direction, every direction? It's one thing to be knocked out by one thing, but there's bad news after bad news after bad news. Has anybody in this place ever been overwhelmed before? Come on, I went through that place. I just want to remind you in this place that if you're overwhelmed, please remember this. Everybody goes through a season of being overwhelmed. I want to give you a tweet. Being overwhelmed is not a sign of weakness, but a reminder that you're still human. You're not weak. And you know what I found is that it's very difficult when Christians feel overwhelmed. It's very tough when Christians feel depressed and they're struggling with anxiety, because somehow we've taught each other in our Christian circles that if you're a good Christian, if you're a strong Christian, you're only supposed to be having these mountaintop experiences, because you're supposed to be a man of God. You're supposed to be a woman of God. You're supposed to know how to pray. You're supposed to know how to fight. And if you're overwhelmed, if you're depressed, if you're going through anxiety, for some reason we've told each other that it means you're not praying enough, you're not believing enough, something is wrong with you. So we have a bunch of Christians that are struggling with anxiety and depression, and nobody knows, only their pillow back in their room. Come on, somebody. But I want you to know that everybody will go through a season of being overwhelmed. We have Christians who are fading away. We can't even talk to one another because you're scared somebody's going to talk to you. We have people who are having a nervous breakdown, panic attacks, and struggling, but you can't talk to anybody because for some reason we've believed that the epitome of Christianity is that you should be having these mountaintop experiences all the time. I went through it. I was Zenzo, the man of God from Africa, the guy who's gathering thousands upon thousands of people. And something crazy happened. Something crazy happened. One day, I was leading worship at the church where I was leading worship. Thousands of people there. Overwhelmed. Couldn't talk to nobody. I couldn't share with anybody. I was hiding and fighting. I'm supposed to be a man of God. And something happened. My body gave out this day. I was getting ready to lead worship, and I was singing a song, leading a song that I'd led all the time. But for some reason, this particular day, when I began to sing, the note I heard in my mind, in my head, did not come through in my mouth. Sounded like a frog. I had never messed up before like that. I know what you guys go through. I know what it means, y'all standing up in this place singing. Y'all going through stuff. But I've been there. But that's why I pray for you extra. I pray for this team extra. Can we appreciate this worship team over here? But I went to sing, and I mean, I was off key. Things were, it was so bad. People were laughing. I felt defeated. I couldn't share with anybody. I was embarrassed. Thousands of people there. There was a big shot evangelist in town who was the guest preacher that day. You know, it was a guest preacher in town. They said, Zenzo, let's have the man of God, Zenzo, lead worship. And I fell. I had a panic attack. The room was spinning around. I was like, God, help me today. And I don't know what happened. And I fell on the stage. Fell down. My body gave out. I just fell down. I couldn't think. I got up and I'm thinking, my bishop is right there. My pastor is right there. There's a guest preacher in town. I'm supposed to be coming through. I'm supposed to be doing this thing today. And I fell down. Defeated. Overwhelmed. I drove home crying like a baby. I want you to know that everybody will get overwhelmed. I want to speak to men in this room. We live in a generation that says a real man never cries. So we have too many men who are overwhelmed and depressed. And nobody knows, hiding somewhere, looking at stuff you shouldn't look at, overwhelmed. Everybody gets overwhelmed. My prayer is that you would talk to somebody and reach out to somebody, because everybody gets overwhelmed. I want to speak to mothers. Mothers are supposed to be super women. They take care of their kids, take care of their husbands, take care of their grandkids, come to church, save the whole world and do all these things. And we have mothers who are crying in their closet, because somehow we've believed that if we are mothers, we're supposed to just be strong. And we have mothers that are crying. And today I want to set you free. I want you to know that everybody gets overwhelmed. King Jehoshaphat was overwhelmed. Great man of God. The Bible says the Ammonites and the Moabites and the Maonites surrounded him. Can I say this? They didn't surround him because they wanted to come and have a picnic with him. They were coming for his head. They were coming for his wife's head. They were coming for his children's head. They were not coming to have a picnic. And he was surrounded. He was a man of God. Have you ever been surrounded? Have you ever been overwhelmed? Have you ever been at a place where you're just saying, God, I need you to show up today. I need you to come and rescue me today. I have been there over and over and over, but I'm so glad that Jesus is with us. Hallelujah, somebody. You see, David says, even though I go through the valley, which means every now and then you will go through. Because what we've believed is that the epitome of Christianity is that God should just take these things away. If you're a real man of God, when you pray, God should just remove the debt. God should just remove the pain. God should just remove the sickness. And once in a while, every now and then, God doesn't just take it away. He allows you to go through the valley of the shadow of death. But you can be less assured that when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord says, He's with you and He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. Maybe there epitome of Christianity is not the fact that God is going to remove every problem, but just the simple fact that he's never going to leave you or forsake you. He's always there with you, and you can take that to the bank. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, let's celebrate Jesus in this place. He's faithful. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Every time I've been in the valley, he's been there. He's a faithful God. Let's read verse 2. Hallelujah. Anybody overwhelmed in this place? Let me add a point here and say, and many times I found that you're not only going to be overwhelmed by bad situations, even good situations can overwhelm you. Hallelujah. That's why you want to be careful. One time, we were just married for a year, and my wife came to me and said, honey, we're pregnant. I said, how? No, we've been married only a year. How? She said, how? Are you really asking me how? Are you seriously going to ask me that? I mean, I know, but how? Not ready. I was overwhelmed. I couldn't sleep. Even good situations will overwhelm you. My wife recently has been talking about going to Disney, and I'm already overwhelmed just hearing the name Disney. I mean, this is a place you stand in lines for 2 hours for a two-minute ride. I mean, I just don't get it. You stand in lines and stand. I just don't do amusement parks. I don't find riding those crazy things like fun. I don't want to feel like I'm dying and my dreams are over. My wife loves that thing. Ah, she's screaming. She's screaming. White girl's crazy. She's screaming. She's crying. Ah, this is crazy. I'm like, is this fun to you? Yes, this is fun. And they have the nerve of taking a picture of you while you're screaming. Seriously. My wife wants me to pay money for a picture of me looking like I'm dying. Even good situations can overwhelm you. Buying a house, moving into a new place, it can overwhelm you. Talk to somebody. Take time. Let's read verse 2. The Bible says messengers came and told Jehoshaphat. Somebody say messengers. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Edom is marching against you beyond the Dead Sea. They are already at Hazazon Tamar, which is another name for Engedi. So the brother is already surrounded. He has bad news. And the messenger just came to give him some more bad news. Have you ever been at a place where you've received so much bad news already, and then somebody calls you and say, I've got some news, and it's not so good news? How much bad news can one person handle in a week? Have you ever been there before where somebody's telling you you've got bad news after bad news? Well, I want you to understand this. One of the tactics of the enemies, one of the ways that he uses to overwhelm you is by sending reports, bad reports to you and messages that will overwhelm you. Have you noticed this? You're sitting down at work and you're having lunch. All of a sudden, you're sitting with somebody in front of you. You just happen to choose to sit on a desk, on a table, where the person sitting in front of you somehow has heard some news through the grapevine that they're going to be laying people off. Not a coincidence. Doctors tell you that you're sick. They diagnose something to you. All of a sudden, you stop by this gas station and you're pumping gas, and you meet this person who just happens to tell you that the same disease that you have, his auntie had years ago, and she died with it. You think it's a coincidence? It's not a coincidence. That's the tactics of the devil. That's the devil. He's sending messengers to you, bad reports to you. And before you realize, you're frantic. You're even more overwhelmed. And now he's whispering to you all these things. You're not going to make it. You're going to die. This is going to happen. Your father's not going to make it to Thanksgiving this year. Your mother's not going to make it to Christmas. All of a sudden, you're hearing all these messages in your head. That's the tactic of the devil. He is a liar. The devil and his mother-in-law lie. They specialize in lying. James says he's not just a liar. He's the father of all lies. And before you realize, you're frantic. Now you're off the wall and you start taking that pill and you start taking this pill. You're taking pills not to treat the problem. You're actually taking pills just to treat the threat. Have you ever been threatened before? There are people in this room, you're living under a threat. That dude keeps telling you, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to walk away from you. Now you can't sleep in the night. You're taking sleeping medication. Your back is hurting. You're taking medication. You're becoming a zombie. It's becoming worse and worse and worse because the devil is fear-mongering. He's threatening you. The Bible says the devil is like a roaring lion. He's not a lion. He's like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. He's trying to intimidate you. All of a sudden, you begin to believe a lie. And there are people in this room who have believed the lie of the devil. Check this out. There's a man called Elijah in the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah comes. Somebody say Elijah. In the book of 1 Kings 18, Elijah is working all these miracles. He's on top of the world, working all these miracles, doing all this great stuff. The Bible says he kills 450 prophets with his bare hands. That's a strong dude. You try fighting 10 people. That's a strong dude. He kills 450 men with his bare hands. And the Bible says he calls down fire from heaven. And it burns an altar. And the Bible also says Elijah speaks to the sky and tells the sky not to rain. And it doesn't rain. And then he speaks to the sky again and tells it to rain, and rain comes down. This brother is working miracles. He's a bad dude. He's a powerful prophet. But then guess what happens? A woman called Jezebel. I curse every Jezebel spirit in this place. You get out of this place. You will not mess with this African brother. You spirit of ostracizing the prophets of God, you come out of this place. Let me just send a record. I've never seen any Jezebel who's messed with his brother ever have victory in my life. You get out of this place in the name of Jesus. He's being threatened by a woman. I want to read this scripture for you guys. Check this out. It's 1 Kings 19. Let's read this together. This is crazy. This is a guy, you've got to remember, this is a guy who just killed 450 men with his bare hands, called fire from heaven, spoke to the skies, told the skies not to rain, there was no rain, spoke to the skies again, told it to rain, and rain came down. And here's what's going on. So Jezebel sent message to Elijah. I told you, threats. That's how the enemy operates. It says, may God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just like you killed them. That's a ruthless woman. That's a bad woman. That's an evil spirit. That's an evil woman. Elijah was afraid. Here's a dude who just killed 450 men with his bare hands. Mike Tyson has not done that yet. Muhammad Ali did not do that. That's a bad dude. It says Elijah was afraid and he fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. This guy was so intimidated, he left his servant. He left his personal assistant without even telling him where he was going. The guy who controls his schedule didn't even know where this guy is because he's scared. Then he went alone. He went on alone to the wilderness. And I want you to know this. Once the devil starts to threaten you, the next thing that he does is he isolates you. That's why you see many people, once they start feeling overwhelmed, the first thing they'll say is, Pastor, I can't come to church. Because that's the tactic of the devil. If he can isolate you, he can get you to do anything crazy. He went alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under the solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. Here's a guy who just killed 450 men with his bare hands, called down fire from heaven, spoke to the sky, told the sky not to rain. There was no rain. Spoke to the sky again, told it to rain, and it rained. And now he's been threatened by this woman, and he's contemplating suicide. And here's his prayer. Take my life. He says, where is it? I've had enough, Lord. Have you ever prayed that prayer? I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. That's exactly what the devil does. He threatens you. He sends all these kind of messages. All these messages coming to you. Now you're frantic. You're thinking about all this crazy stuff. You're panicking. That's the tactics of the enemy. And there are people in this room right now, you have believed a lie. You have believed a lie. You have believed the lie of that devil. You've believed that your family is cursed.
You've believed that you will never make it. You've believed that that child is never going to come back home. You've believed the lies of the devil. You've believed that man is leaving you and that dude is leaving you. You've believed the lies of the devil. But I came in this place today to defeat every lie of the devil in the name of Jesus. I came to announce that every lie of the devil is bound right now in this place, because the devil is trying to wear you out. He's trying to cause you to do crazy things. He's trying to make you believe things that are not even there in the first place. Because once you start believing the threats of the devil, now things that are not even there begin to appear. And the devil begins to magnify the problems. A small, tiny little problem becomes a mountain because you've believed a lie. But the devil and his mother-in-law is a liar in the name of Jesus. Let him be defeated and get out of this place in the name of Jesus. The devil is trying to wear you out. He's trying to break your spirit. Whatever you do, refuse for your spirit to be broken. Come on, I want you to turn to somebody and tell them, I receive the word of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Tell somebody, I refuse to believe the lies of the devil. I refuse to believe the lies of the devil. I will live and not die. I will live to declare the goodness of Jesus. I will live. I will see my grandchildren. I'm not going to get fired. Matter of fact, I'm going to run this entire company. I'm coming out of this place. God is raising me up. Great things are happening in my life. I choose to believe the report of the Lord. His report says I'm healed. His report says I'm free. His report says I'm successful. His report says I am a child of God. His report says I am victorious. I won't die before my time. I choose to believe the report of the Lord. I am a miracle worker. I am a son of God. I am a child of God. Devil, you can't take me out. You should have taken me out before, back in the days when I was dancing in the nightclub. I'm in the house of God now. You can't take me out. Somebody lift up your voice and shout hallelujah. Somebody cry out to God in this place. The devil and his mother-in-law are a liar. I'm going to live and not die. I'll declare the goodness of God. Watch this church grow to thousands upon thousands of people. Campus after campus. House after house. Watch this man get prosperous. Watch the goodness of Jesus. Come on, I want to see somebody in this place who's believing the report of the Lord rise up and shout, hallelujah. I believe the report of the Lord. The devil is a liar. You can't take me out, devil. I'm not dying. I'll leave and declare the goodness of God. My child is coming back home. The house of God will be built. I believe the report of the Lord. Somebody in this place, just celebrate the goodness of Jesus. Devil, you can't get me. You can't come. You can't come and get me in the name of Jesus. My family is coming back. I'm taking my family back. Somebody shout, it's over in the name of Jesus. We believe the lie of the devil, and that's what he's doing. Here's a guy, he just killed 450 men, called down fire from heaven, told the sky not to rain, and there was no rain. Told the sky to rain, and it rained. All of a sudden, he's in a place, he's hallucinating, scared, alone somewhere, frail, praying that God would kill him. I speak life in this place in the name of Jesus. I curse that spirit of suicide in the name of Jesus. I curse that spirit of suicide in the name of Jesus. No longer will you be in your bedroom contemplating suicide in the name of Jesus. I declare over every teenager in this place, no longer will you be cutting your wrist anymore in Jesus' name. You're free, you're healed in the name of Jesus. You're free, you're healed in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, take a moment to celebrate Jesus. I feel freedom in this room. Somebody get on that piano. I feel freedom in this. Come on, this is the moment you've been waiting for. Don't wait for a preacher. Receive your miracle. Receive your blessing right now. Get your miracle. Get your blessing in this place in the name of Jesus. Come on, we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about the one who can tell the water molecules to solidify so he can walk on them. We're talking about the one who can speak to the wind and tell the wind to freeze. We're talking about the Son of God. Come on, I'm not talking about President Obama. I'm not talking about Oprah Winfrey. I'm not talking about a psychologist. I'm talking about the one who put this world and fashioned it and created it, told the stars to go in the sky, placed the sun where it has to go, the one who tells the rain to come, tells the rain not to come, the one who spoke to your father to speak to your mother, and now you are here. Come on, you are racing. You are. Science says there's a million sperm that chases. You are racing with a million other people, and you won. You're here. God is the one who made you come here. He's the one who's made you win, and he's going to cause you to win. Somebody rise up in this place and begin to celebrate Jesus for your victory before you even see it. In the name of Jesus, somebody shout, I'm fighting for somebody in this place. I'm fighting for somebody's miracle in this place. Receive your miracle in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I sit down if you can. Hallelujah. Dottie Austin is the mother of Joel Austin. She was diagnosed with cancer years ago. She was in a hospital, fading away. Oh, she got so skinny. It is said that she got pictures of herself, beautiful pictures of herself when she was whole, pictures of herself with makeup on, pictures of herself looking good. She plastered them everywhere in that hospital, plastered scripture everywhere in that hospital, in the bathrooms. Why? Because she was refusing to be broken. She was refusing to believe the report of the devil. She was refusing to believe the report of the devil. And the Bible says in verse 3 that Jehoshaphat was terrified, but he went looking for God's guidance. Christian, I want to tell you, it's okay to be terrified. You're going to feel terrified. It's okay to be terrified. Even Jesus was terrified. Jesus said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. He said, Daddy, Daddy, why have you forsaken me? It's okay to feel that way. The Bible says Jehoshaphat went to God, but he also reached out to the nation to begin to pray. I am praying that you have a sister, that you have a brother, that when you go through the valley, you can hold hands with and begin to pray. I'm hoping you have a girlfriend who knows how to pray. I'm hoping you have a boyfriend who knows how to pray and knows how to cry out to God, that when you go through it, you don't have to hide and cry by yourself. You can talk to somebody and say, let's pray together. Please agree with me. He cried out to God. It's okay to be terrified. But what matters is what you do after you're terrified. Because here's what most people do. They begin to try and control the situation. If you're overwhelmed and you're trying to control the situation, it only gets worse. Gets worse. It's like seeing somebody in an airplane. They're flying to California. And they sit there. And all of a sudden you see this guy flapping their arms like this. And you say, what are you doing, dude? He said, I don't want to die. What are you doing? Well, I'm helping the airplane fly. If I stop, the airplane will go down. It's going to go down. It's going to nosedive. So I have to. And they're doing it. And they're getting tired. And they're getting even more tired. But they're just doing it. And they're just doing it. And that's the picture of most of us. We're wrestling. We're frantic. And the more we do this, the more we overwhelm ourselves. The more we do this, the more we kill ourselves. Because remember, the devil is trying to wear you out. And now you're doing this. Now you're taking Prozac. Now you need a pill to go to bed because you're wearing yourself out. Now, don't get me wrong. I know there are people who are taking medication. They need them. But statistics say that in America today, 70% of people survive on prescription medication. Did you know that America is officially now the most depressed country in the world? We take the most painkillers and the most antidepressants than any other nation in the world. And you've got to remember that these painkillers are made out of poppy seed, and it's the same chemical that makes heroin. That's why if you're an addict, you can go back and forth between heroin and pain medication.
And so we live in a nation where 50 people die daily because of overdoses of painkillers. It's a $1 trillion industry. And what you don't realize is that this industry is controlled by a pagan spirit called the God of Mammon. They're not trying to help you. They're trying to make money so they can buy more houses and more yachts and take trips, 7 vacations to the islands. They're not trying to care for you. It's a spirit of the enemy. You know why? Because we're trying so hard. You're trying to control the situation. You're frantic and you're wearing yourself out. And there are people in this place you're trying to control, and you really have believed that you're still here because you're helping the plane fly. I want to remind you that you were never in control of where you're going to be born, when, what time, where, what nation, to which family. I want to remind you that God has been in control this whole time. He's been in control this whole time. I came here to tell somebody, you can stop doing this. You're wearing yourself out. Number 2, you look funny. I'm going to say, you look foolish. And you're irritating the people around you. Let me help this thing fly. I want to remind you that the reason that car accident didn't kill you, the reason that day you had an abortion somewhere and you should have died and you didn't die, is because God was flying this airplane. You can stop flapping now. God's in control. You can stop doing this now. You can rest because God is in control. Let me give you a tweet. God is in control. He's able, and he will not leave you helpless. Not only is he in control, he is able. You've got to believe that the God who created the universe is able to stop your problem. Not only that, he will not leave you helpless. You see, some of us are so used to doing this, we even believe that our mistake is strong enough. Think our mistake is greater than the love of God. I want to remind you that God is in control. Somebody say amen. I'm going to close here. And here's what I want to say. This is how you find freedom. The Bible says Jehoshaphat, he took the worshipers and he placed them ahead of the battle. And he began to worship and they began to sing, "You are good. And your love endures forever." This word worship simply means to trust. You need to stop flapping, stop panting, stop doing all the stuff you're doing, and just trust. This is good news for somebody today. You need to just trust. You're wearing yourself out. You're wasting money. It's time to just trust. The Bible says the more the worshipers worshiped, God began to cause confusion in the enemy's camp. I want you to know that even though you don't see anything changing, as long as you're worshiping and as long as you're trusting God, even though you don't see anything, it doesn't mean God is not fighting for you behind the scenes. He's shifting something because of your trusting. He's shifting something because of your worship. The more they worship, the more God give them breakthrough. It's time to trust God again. It's time to believe God again. It's time to trust God again. I want 5 guys to run up here. I want you to help me out. 5 guys, run up here if you can. Real quick. Come on. Quick. There we go. Some young people. Since you guys are up here, I'm gonna have all the fellas from here. Come out. All the fellas. This is why you need to trust God. Come on, let's appreciate them. Now, I want you guys to all face me. You guys all face me. So stand over there and all face me. You guys can all go this way. There we go. Tim, you can come up. All you guys. There we go. This is why you have to trust God. You guys can hang out there. Don't you just love some good-looking man on the stage? Hallelujah. This is why you can trust God. God spoke to me to tell you that you can trust him because your problem has an expiration date. Come on, you missed a good place to celebrate. I said your problem has an expiration date. The Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away, including your problem. Everything will pass away, but the word of God will remain the same. You can trust God. You can stop that because your problem has an expiration date. You can take that to the Bank of America. Your problem has an expiration date. The second thing that God told me to tell you is this. That as you worship Him and as you trust Him, God's getting ready to turn this tide around. It's going to turn around in your favor. Somebody shout hallelujah. I want you to see this picture. Come on up, fellas. Come on, come together. I want you to see this good-looking man represent your problems. That debt that you have, that sickness that's in your family, that condition with your job, that marriage problem, the issues that you have. And right now what's going on, y'all be easy on me now. Now what's going on is that all these things are working against you, and that's why you're overwhelmed. I want you guys to come and stop pushing me or pretend to be pushing me, all of you together. This is what happens. This is what happens when it's working against you. Stay right there. I want you to see that. Stand right there. That right now you're overwhelmed and you're being pushed this way. But I want you to see something. We're going to do something symbolic in this place, and you will never forget it for as long as you live. I want you to remember that as you begin to worship God and as you begin to trust Him, what happens is your worship causes God to fight for you. You give God permission to fight on your behalf. And what happens is that the problems, everything, the tide begins to turn around and it works in your favor. And so the thing that was pushing you now begins to prepare you forward. Hallelujah. Now you guys are going to propel me forward. Don't stop. Don't stop. Now it's pushing you. Come on. It's pushing me. It's pushing me. I'm in trouble. My mother's sick. Everything is going against me. I've got debt. All these things are going on. But once you begin to worship, once you begin to worship God, can I get a worshiper in the house? Can I get somebody to lift up their voice and begin to worship? Somebody worship in this place. Come on, worship for your life. Worship for that miracle. Worship for that problem. Worship for that pain. Come on, you're not worshiping enough. That's what some of you need to learn to do. You're too passive. You need to learn to worship. The problem is pushing you. The more you worship, it begins to turn around. Now it's turning around. It's turning around. Come on, worship. It's turning around. And now it's working in your favor. Somebody shout hallelujah. Stay right there, fellas. Stay right there. Which means they fired you, but now you're starting a new company and you're about to make millions of dollars. Somebody shout hallelujah. Which means you've been sick. The doctors diagnosed that you've got this thing. But now God is not only going to heal you, but He's going to give you an anointing. You're going to pray for everybody who's sick with the same thing that you have. And you're going to have an anointing every time to set the captives free in the name of Jesus. A child has left you. They're coming back saved. Not only that, they're going to love you. They're going to become your best ally. Right now, you don't have money to go to school. You don't know what's going to happen. God's going to send you to school. You're going to go all the way. And in the future, you're going to pay school fees for your nieces and nephews. He's turning it around in your favor. He's turning it around in your favor. He's turning it around in your favor. Please stand if you can. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We bless your name. You guys can go. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. He's turning it around in your favor. And here's the last thing God told me to tell you. That He will not waste your pain. Your pain is not in vain. He's going to use you to teach other people. Your pain is not in vain. Jesus went through the pain. Father, please take this away from me. Please, please let this cup pass over me. Please. The pain was not in vain. Because of that pain, you and I are here today. The pain is not in vain. The pain is not in vain. Here's the last scripture I want us to read. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 24. It says, so when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. They didn't even have to fight. God fought on their behalf. It says King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the spoils, the plunder. The pain was about the spoils. God is trying to bless you. You can put the scripture down. I told you my story of how overwhelmed I was. Yeah. Jesus, I don't even like thinking about it, because the pain comes back. Man, I was in a hard place. I was in a hard place. Pain. I hated the nights because they were long. I hated waking up because there was nothing to wake up to. Broken. But the pain was not in vain, because it was this season. Ah, Jesus. About 3.5 years ago that I heard clearly for the first time about this church. You see, I was comfortable, and it took this. Broken, can't sleep, just broken, thinking about doing crazy things and destroying myself. That for the first time, God captivated me, and he began to speak to me. Son, I have a vision for impact inside of you. I've been speaking to you all along, but you've not been listening, and it took you coming to this place of brokenness to hear my voice clearly. And you are here in this place. This place is jam-packed and filled and packed up because of a season of being overwhelmed. The pain is not in vain. The pain is not in vain. He will not waste your pain. God will not waste your pain. You're going to minister to somebody. You're going to love on somebody. Joyce Meyer was molested over and over and over by her own father. Last year, she rescued thousands upon thousands of girls who were sex slaves. The pain is never in vain. Robert Morrison was born a product of rape. His mother was raped in a park. And he was born. His mother hated her own pregnancy, hated the boy, because it was a reminder of this perpetrator who raped her. Today, Robert Morris feeds thousands upon thousands of orphans in Africa. The pain is not in vain. The pain is not in vain.